Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Guess what film I watched a couple of days ago? So you can have this as a start of the podcast if you want, because on paternity leave I've been watching just loads of random films I've never seen. I watched Bone Tomahawk the other day.
Oh, what a lovely film for a young baby to watch.
So I told my wife about it the next morning, and I was like, when that scene happened, I had the baby in my lap and I had to tilt him towards my chest. I was like, you can't look at the screen right now.
I really like that film, but yeah, it's one of the like grimmest films you'll see. Probably the closest we've ever got to like a Blood Meridian adaptation, but yeah, hopefully we'll get that one day. But yeah, welcome to the IGN UK podcast. Big Daddy Dale's back, if you hadn't guessed.
Hello, I'm back. Now I've got a baby. He's not here though. No, he's at the house right now. He's chilling.
I still haven't seen him. That's not.
There's loads of pictures.
Yeah, I know. He hasn't appeared in a meeting. That's what we all.
I will get him in a meeting. He's quite like the mornings are tough. So yeah. Getting him in the morning meeting. But you know, at some point I'll get him in. Yeah. One morning meeting, I'll turn on my camera with the microphone and the headset, but I'll just put him in the chair and I'll point the microphone to him and put the headset on him. And then you can have a chat and see how you get on.
I'll have a chat with him. Yeah. I reckon we'll get on. I'm a big fan of babies and toddlers.
I just find them very funny.
Yeah, similar sort of face. Matt, are you a fan of babies?
They're all right. They're just little people, aren't they?
Yeah, basically.
I like that age of like, is it like, I don't know, probably like 1.5 to 2, where they actually start getting a personality, when they're not just a ball of like screams.
It happens a bit earlier than that, but yeah, like I know what you mean. Like right now he can't hold his own head up.
He's boring to talk to, basically.
I'm pretty sure he's trying to set the world record for farts though. Like I never knew babies farted so much. It's a machine. But yes.
Well, did you how was your time of like, I hear from different people when they're on like paternity or maternity leave, it's either the best time to play games or the worst time to play games. How did you find it?
It wasn't a good time for playing games because he was quite demanding. He loves being held, as babies are known to do. But I did watch tons and tons of films and TV shows and stuff like that, because I would be doing a shift with him. From my wife would go to bed at like 9 o'clock, and I would stay up with him till 3 a.m. Give her a chance to sleep, and then we'd swap around, and I'd sleep, and then she'd put the shift in.
Sounds like hard work.
It is hard work, but I did play one game the entire time, and I got the platinum trophy on it. That's how much I played this game, which is Power Wash Simulator.
Oh, what a game!
Because I wanted to play it anyway, and I saw it, and I thought, what a better game! Like any time he goes down for 20 minutes, I'm going to blast this little van, give it a little clean, and if he starts crying and I have to pick him up, it's fine, I can pause it, there's no need to come.
I played it on, because it first came out on Game Pass, so I played it on Xbox, so I have 100% in that game when I reviewed it, but like I don't have the platinum because I didn't play it. I wish I'd played it on PlayStation now, so I'd have that platinum.
Oh, that last big clean in the story mode though, that was a daunting
task.
Is that
the big is it spoilers? It's a temple.
Yeah, it's like a giant alien temple thing. It's like that. When that happened, I was like, oh, I don't know if I have. Oh, that took me like 3 or 4 days.
Are you not tempted to get the expansions?
I think I'm
there's
Power
the free
out.
Ones.
Yeah, I did the Final Fantasy VII ones. I think when I saw the Tomb Raider one was actually her Lara Croft's mansion, I was like, maybe give myself a year off for Power Wash for a little bit.
The SpongeBob one's good. And also, speaking of Power Wash, yesterday I was at the WASD / IGN UK event that was on in London. I got a sneak peek, played a little bit of the Back to the Future DLC.
Oh,
cleaned a DeLorean. That was nice.
Anything cool happen when you clean it?
When you finished it, again, spoilers, it drives off.
Oh, sick. Into the future, or just
probably at
the
speed of 88 mile an hour, but it's good. It was like in the parking lot, like where it is in the start of the film. Like, yeah,
I do want to point out,
power wash is great.
I do have a jet washer at home, and I do have a patio that needs jet washing. So it's kind of
it's that Simpsons gag about yard work simulator, right?
Although saying that, Lino, like the water management at home is a pain in the ass because you've got to get this water somewhere. In power wash, it just dissipates. It's fine. So more satisfying.
I'll come around and power wash for you if you want.
All right.
Yeah. For a medium sized fee.
Whoa.
Good stuff. Well, let's not talk about power wash anymore because that game's been out a while, no matter how good it is. Last night, we had a state of play from PlayStation. And there was a few, you know, again, kind of recent trend this summer. Not a whole lot of new stuff, but some exciting looks at stuff we already knew were on the way, really. And, I mean, I think the only place to start is where that show ended, which was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I can't imagine, like, we'll talk to you about this, Dale, because you're a massive Final Fantasy VII fan, of course. But I'm not. I've never got to this point in the game, but even I was watching this going, Jesus Christ, this looks incredible. Like, as someone who actually, you know, that game is in their bones, like, you must be very excited.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons why as well. I think the main one is the ending of Remake sort of set up the idea that this is going to change, right? The story is going to change. It's not going to go where you think. And that kind of gave me mixed feelings, really. I thought, oh, well, that's exciting because, you know, I'm not going to know every plot beat. But also I was worried that, oh, that means they might not do the things that I'm so nostalgic for. But this trailer kind of reinforced that, no, they're very much on the same path. I guess there's going to be slight deviations. In the trailer, we see stuff with Zack and Cloud. They're the deviations, right? But everything you see, like the fact that they revealed the Golden Saucer in this trailer filled me with excitement because that is absolutely like one of the many wacky things that happened in Final Fantasy VII that I can imagine like a gritty modern remake of it could put by the wayside. They showed that example in the remake with the Cloud like cross-dressing stuff, right? A lot of people thought that might be cut out and it wasn't. So I suspect that they're still going to maintain all these element of silly, especially with the character of Kay Sif as well, who... Mm-hmm. I could never quite picture how he would actually look in this world, but it seems all right. Like, it's never a character I like to play anyway. And the overwhelming of things that they revealed in this trailer and showed, like, they proper showed how dense this world is, how much there is going on, all the crazy stuff you get to do, all the mini games you got examples of as well. Like, Final Fantasy VII has some very famous mini games. Yeah, and then they reveal Vincent as well. They're just so
much. I know
you
were very, very excited about that young man. Or is he a vampire?
He is a vampire, yes. But Vincent, for those who might not know, is actually him and Yuffie are optional characters in the original game. So you can quite easily miss them and never add them to your party. And now we've seen Yuffie as like in the game and in your party. We've seen that she's a playable character. But I thought they would really kind of stop there. I thought Kay Sif was probably the limit, but then they've added Vincent in as well in this version, and it's really exciting. We're only missing Sid now. He's the only one that they haven't shown.
You can't have a Final Fantasy game without a Sid.
Surely Sid will be in the game, but he's the last addition to the party. Mm-hmm. It comes quite late in the game. Well, assuming you got the other two already.
I just can't wait to play this. It just looks like visually stunning, and also just the thing that got me was just the variety in it as like. The first, I loved the part, what do we call that? Just remake, I guess, part one. But it is kind of all very, you know, the city of Midgar looks very similar. It's all greens and like darkness. It's very like, you know, it's kind of like one tone color palette wise. Whereas this, like every 5 seconds, it was like a different location, a different like color palette. It just looked like, and I sad thing, there's over 100 hours of stuff. I did not expect them to have the next part of this ready so quickly. And it's what, coming out in, was it February or April?
February, it's coming out of February. Yeah. And like, I guess you could argue that, you know, the groundwork has been established and like from what we've seen in the combat, it looks like relatively similar. Now it's just all about, you know, adding the story in and adding the new environments in. But you're right, like in terms of the opposite, the contrast between Midgar and the world beyond Midgar is like one of the reasons when I first fell in love with the game. Like, so the very first time I played this game, I got about 2 hours in and stopped playing because I didn't think I liked it. And I remember one of my friends at school saying, oh, if you just get out of Midgar, then it's you go anywhere. You can see all these things and do all this stuff. And that was always like, anytime I played it as a kid, it was always like the race to get out of Midgar as fast as I can because I wanted to go and enjoy the rest of the world. And it seems so exciting that we're getting to go to all these places as well. Like, we're going to go across continents in this game as well, considering they showed the gobs also.
Noticeably more open world. Like, I mean, I'm looking at a screenshot here of a chocobo climbing a wall.
Yeah, that's
like a cliff face. Like, I don't know what's... Like, it just looks... I love that it's just fully bonkers as well.
Yeah.
Like, they're going for it. And, yeah, like, God knows what... Like, you mentioned story changes. There's obviously a big story beat in this game that even people like me who haven't played the game know very well happens.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to spoil it, just in case there's the old person who doesn't know. But, like, do you have anything... Do you think it's going to happen the same way?
I think it could be... I mean, it could easily not, and then it could easily be a double bluff, right? And it's like... it's hard to know considering what the story is. Like, I am planning to like really break this down and try and get into some of the language used by Sephiroth at the end of the last game. There's lots of cryptic stuff, but I potentially, this, you know, what we're talking about is in regards to Aerith, and like I think potentially we could be in stock. There could be a surprise, basically, is what I'm trying to say at the end of this game. This is assuming the game goes up to that point. But they did put out a statement last night, which heavily implied.
Very heavily implied.
Heavily implied, well, that's the point. And it would be it was the end of disc one on the original game. It is the halfway point in the game. It is like the defining, it is the end of Empire Strikes Back, really. It is
I do like that their trailer once again ended with the words "on two discs." Like, yeah. It's the most impressive thing in the world. Are you excited for it all, Matt? Did you play the first part?
No, I didn't. Because I was like, oh, well, Final Fantasy VII is already a game that exists. That's great. And I didn't find out until maybe years later, so I just didn't talk to anybody, that there are like meaningful differences in this. So, yeah, maybe it's
just fun to play. Like, it's completely different to play. Like, it is genuinely one of the best combat systems I've played. It's so fun to play. I know it's not... You've told me it's not necessary, Dale, but I haven't played the integrated stuff with Yuffie yet.
No, I mean, that's
I probably will jump in.
Maybe worth a go. I didn't find it that interesting. And also, it definitely is not really connected. It gives you a bit of backstory about Yuffie, I guess, but it's not really connected. The most important stuff is the post-credit scenes in Integrate, which kind of give you a tease of what's to come in Rebirth. So, yeah.
There we go. Probably all be lost on me because there's this guy, Zach, with dark hair, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. You're from a different game. What are you doing here? And all
so
that.
That's the most interesting stuff in regards to the story of Remake and whatnot. Like, because like Remake, essentially, even though it's expanded, it was beat for beat, like the same story, until it got to like the last couple of hours. Couple of hours, really, where it's like, then it all this, and now it's like, they end the last game with the statement, "The unknown journey continues." So I was quite fearful of that. What are they actually going to do with it? I felt like they were going to like maybe sanitize some of the weirder stuff and just tell a different story that I wasn't interested in, because I love the original story. I think a tweak doesn't hurt, but they're definitely doing some bold stuff with this, so it's interesting to see where they go.
Nice. I'm reading a Q&A of the director actually about it as we're recording, and there's some interesting stuff which I don't want to spoil, because some people might not know certain things happen in this game, but there we go. What a pointless thing I just said.
Send me the link though, I want to read it.
Yeah, we'll do.
So it wasn't completely pointless.
Yeah, I'll slap that to you now. We're doing work live on the podcast. What do I have next on the run in order?
Spider-Man 2.
It looks... every time I see this game, it just looks so fun. That's just like the... I know that's such a fundamentally basic thing to say about a video game, but that's why I just look at this game and actually I'm just like, this just looks so much fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I have... Like, there's zero reason to doubt Insomniac, I think, and... Even if it's more of what we've had in other Spider-Man games, I think we're going to have a good time. But this trailer obviously focused on the open world and how they've changed that a bit, and I did like the look of that a lot more. It reminded me a little bit more of the Arkham style of like things might happen to you in the open world rather than just going from like points on a map to points on a map. And it also just another basic thing to say, just looks stunning. Yeah. Just like, I don't know how they do it.
Do you want to know one random weird thing that interests me? There was that quick time sequence of Spider-Man, you know, when he is trying to stop criminal vehicles, and in the previous game it'd be like almost identical every time and you go through the same process, but on this one there was a clip of that happening, and there was I think I'm remembering this right, I haven't watched it since. It was a snare drum,
a
snare drum flying back, and I was like, but that won't be on everyone, because that would be mental. Why would everyone have a snare drum? Which makes me think these are going to be way more like bespoke, like
Even sequences. Little things like that make it seem like, oh, I'm solving a different crime time rather than just being up the same four people with bats.
Which that just gives it, like you said, the idea of like, it's not just, oh, there's 10 of these to do in the open world, go. It's like there's each one has its own individual sequences and is designed to be bespoke. And like, that made me really interested.
It looked like, and obviously I'm very interested in the main story of this game. I think it could go some interesting places, but it did look like the side stuff is more developed as well, like actual, like almost villain side stories, like they teased. It looked like definitely like it would be Mysterio at some point, which is cool. Like, he's always fun when he turns up, because you know you're going to get something a bit weird.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, not putting down Rhino, for example, but you know Rhino's just going to run at you.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to do anything crazy. It looks so much, but like the map is literally twice as big, and it's nice to get some variety. And the wingsuit will definitely solve the river and the park problem of having to find something to swing on. But yeah. I don't need to see any more of this game. I don't know if they'll show much more of this game.
No, I mean, when's it come out? A few weeks,
like a month. Yeah, 20th of October.
Like you said, it does kind of feel like more of the same. But also, I feel like it's been long enough where I'm excited for more of that, you know, like Miles Morales was like what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, like
it was a launch game for 3 years ago.
I'm very excited to be Spider-Man again,
and that instant changing as well. It's going to make the GTA 5 zoom out the dun 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 seem very slow. Maybe I don't know if GTA 6 has any of that. We don't know anything about GTA 6.
So stop emailing us.
I wish I knew anything about that game. You interested in that one, Matt, or is that too? Too mainstream?
I will have to own a PlayStation first in order to be able to play this.
I'm sure we can find you one.
Yeah,
I'm
make sure this happen.
Good games, Spider-Man games. Good fun. Well done to them. Mm-hmm. I've always been I think if it's ever a debate, like I do think I prefer the Arkham games in total compared to Spider-Man ones, but this one, I don't know. This one's doing things for me. I just like we said, that world seems more alive, a little bit more, I don't know, less just, like I said, a checkpoint ticking exercise.
Isn't it sad that we're not getting another Arkham game?
Suicide Squad, what is that, February that's coming out?
That's not the same game.
I'm convinced that's the sad thing. By the way, that's my prediction. I'm like, that's getting delayed.
Knows what's going on with that game. I'm still probably against my better judgment, fingers crossed that Rocksteady are working some of their magic on it, but from what we've seen, Suicide Squad's looking
but that's not
ideal.
That's not the Arkham Batman game that I want, and Gotham Knights definitely wasn't the Batman game that I want. And it's like, it's just, that was such a disappointment, and now it feels like when there's no
I fully understand, like, as a creative person wanting to do something different, not wanting to do the same thing over and again, but when you have such a winning formula like that, like,
also I'm never opposed to the idea of, like, you know, finding a new studio who can put their own spin on it, but still deliver the thing
they did
that
with Arkham Origins, which isn't at the same level as the other, but still, good game.
It's just a shame.
Yeah,
it'll come back one day. They'll reboot it at some point.
But we've got Wolverine coming as well from Insomniac. They're just so good. They're just so good. I like how in the age where we're like, okay, we're done with superhero films, and now I'm like, give me all the superhero games. I'll play all of those. It's much more fun to be a superhero than watch them, is what I found.
Yeah, if the whole point is a power fantasy, let me actually enact all the cool stuff. I just want to see someone else do it.
Exactly. Resident Evil 4, another game, Dale, close to your heart. A game close to my heart as well, Resident Evil 4. But I never actually, I don't think I ever played the original like Ada Wong bits. So you can tell me, Separate Ways, why should we be? Why do you think we should be excited for Separate Ways?
Well, for clarity, I only ever played them when they came out originally, so it's a long time ago. But but Separate Ways is pretty cool. I mean, it's it describes what it is, really. The title does that. The fact that is, you're seeing Ada's version of events while Leon is going through his adventure. Like, the one scene I vividly remember is when Leon is got the swarm in the village at the start of the game. Like, you can see Ada from the distance, like, observing it from the distance, and it just, it goes from, yeah, the start of the game to the end of the game when Ada and Leon meet up again, and you just see what Ada's getting up to, how she manipulates things, her interactions with like Wesker and with Lewis as well. And obviously the story of Resident Evil 4 is basically the same, but it, they also added things, they extended things, add like Lewis survives a lot longer in the remake, so that means there's more opportunity for Ada to get up to stuff as well. So and she has a grappling hook. And who doesn't love a grappling hook? So
is she a bit like Widowmaker? Can I play like Widowmaker? Can I just grapple and snipe? Is that how I can play this?
I'm not sure about that. Hopefully, that's the dream, right? But yeah, we'll see. We've known it's coming for a while, specifically because at the end of the Resident Evil 4 remake, Leon says to Ada, "Maybe we should just go our separate ways." So yeah, kind teaser. Of on the list.
How long? I'm intrigued. What? It's out in 6 days. It's out next week.
Yeah, that's the crazy part, right? I knew it was coming, but I've kind of forgotten about it.
Again,
more, you know,
Capcom, we didn't need this. There's too many games already. Yeah. So, but thank you anyway. It's nice of you. I do wonder how long it's going to be, because it could be like, obviously, it's not going to go parallel to the whole of Resident Evil 4. We're not getting a whole another 20 odd hours. But, like, I don't know. Like, what do you think? Like, a few hours? I don't know.
I'm trying to remember.
The other one was, like, yeah, I don't think it was, like, very meaty. But it was just, it was cool. It was a nice amuse-bouche alongside the meal of...
That's what they should put in the PR, the amuse-bouche of Resident Evil 4.
So the original was 3.5 hours, according to How Long to Beat. So I imagine about, right, something kind of similar, which is quite, you know, this is meaty for like an add-on DLC thing, you know.
So I don't need to play the whole of that game again, especially in VR, which they fully revealed the VR trailer of Resident Evil 4 Remake. Like, I like playing in those worlds, and I like I like Resident Evil 4 a lot. I don't need to be in it.
No.
I really don't need to be in it.
The Garador, like, but if you remember them, they're like the guys that can't see and stuff. Like, I don't want to do that in VR. That sounds horrible.
Yeah. I just like, the worst thing for me was just when they showed you like sitting in the boat on the lake. I'm like, oh, that's gonna make me feel ill. Just bobbing in a boat. Okay. Like, I was but yeah, I'm like, I like VR every now and then, but again, I think I've said this before, why are 70% of VR games horror? I don't want to be in them.
Like, well, because I guess it's like that extremely like immersive experience, right?
I know the that's idea. What sells. Well, it's just not what I want, Dale. Why do people not care about what I want?
Have you played what's that? Oh God, what is that game called? It's like Office Simulator sort of thing.
Job Simulator.
Job Simulator. Yeah, there you go. There's a VR game.
That's fun. Yeah, I did play that on the original PSVR. We had the PSVR 2, that's now sitting in the office because they haven't really released any games for it since it released.
One thing that is cool about the VR version of Resident Evil, though, is it gives you the option to dual wield weapons, and it makes you more like a little bit more John Wick-y if you're really like slick with it, like Jesse's particularly slick with it. So hopefully we can get him playing this and doing some amazing action.
I'll sit there and there'll be like three Ganados walking towards me. I'll just panic and I'll be like, that open, because the way I play that opening village segment as well is like rolling around everywhere, like jumping up everything. It's like in VR, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm just going to be slowly walking backwards, like going, I'm out of ammo, and just trying to punch things and it won't work. Try and do a spin kick, kick my TV off the wall, and then, you know, that's that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think
you have to actually spin kick to do a spin kick.
Yeah, but I will.
Just I want to be immersed.
Spin kick everyone in my house. Another game where you can't really control your legs very well, Baby Steps. It looks so good. I can't wait to play this. That trailer was... I love that they opened that State of Lotus trailer of just, like, two guys just going... Again, grappling hooks. Just going, oh, you want to grapple that? You want to... Oh, yeah. Do you want to grapple?
Well, they actually opened it with...
Fucking grapple that.
Like with just the character doing like one of the worst looking walking animations you've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, what is going on? And then when you realize that, oh, actually, no, it's about, you know, manually controlling these legs and the balance of them.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
They revealed this a few months ago, but this was a better look at it. And it just looks so good. And it's, if you don't know what it is, it's from Bennett Foddy, who is behind Getting Over It or Get Over It. Getting Over It. And
Quap and GURP and all the classic
and my mind's gone.
Yeah.
I said all these about half an hour ago without stuttering. It just looks silly.
I'm all for silly games. Well,
you didn't explain the premise.
Do we even know? It's just you're trying to walk. You're trying to get somewhere. It reminded me of, and I don't know if anyone's seen it. It reminded me a little bit of Bo is Afraid the game.
That's a really good. Yeah.
It just looked like you're trying to basically. If you play Getting Over It, it's kind of like similar to that, except it's more. You're behind. You know, it's the traditional 3D third person perspective. I've forgotten how to speak. camera position. You're basically trying to walk, and I'm guessing it's going to be like, I don't know how it controls on control yet, but maybe like each of the triggers controls a limb or something. It's going to be very difficult, basically.
Yeah, my assumption immediately was that maybe each leg is on an analog stick, because there was a lot of there was a lot of delicate movement in that showed there's subtle fine control.
3D space stuff. Yeah. I bet there will probably be something for like how you put the foot down on the trigger or something like that. But stick movement for leg.
There's a bunch of games like that. Was it Heavenly Bodies was kind of like that, where you manually controlled limbs? Am I thinking of the right game there? But there's a few games where, you manually control limbs or, you know, certain parts of them. And, it's surprisingly complex. And especially what they showed in this little clip as well, like navigating height, you know, like getting over objects. Getting over, it's going to be a struggle. So,
like you mentioned, there were some good little bits like Indiana Jones reference where there's just a massive boulder rolling towards you that looks almost impossible. Like you said, a bit on it ends of him on a skateboard and then just falling over. It's just very silly. Yeah. I'm definitely gonna play this at summer next year, I think. And looking forward to baby steps. I mean, will your little man be walking? Will that be his first game, baby steps? Will he be
when does it come out
by then? Summer.
Yeah, he'll probably be stumbling around.
That's a good tweet right there. Be like, baby steps. I haven't been playing it
baby reacts to baby steps.
How can we utilize this child for content is what I'm thinking.
It's just that it's a shame it's not an actual baby in the game.
He's in like a big like baby romper though, isn't he?
I can put my kid in front of a screen and get him film him and baby reacts to baby steps.
Can your baby walk the length of a garden in the same time it takes one of us to walk, I don't know, down in the road steps. In this game? Who can walk further in 5 minutes?
Let's do it. I'm going to make him a star.
This video is never getting made.
Oh, we're doing it now. What else are we going to talk about? The Nintendo thing just didn't do a lot for us, sadly. No. It was mainly stuff we knew about. I'm not one of these people who's overly nostalgic about the era of the 3DS visual novel, so another code hasn't done a lot for me, but it looked kind of cool.
I thought the showcase started off well. I thought Mario I'm a sucker for any Mario games, really, and the Mario versus Donkey Kong looked like it could be fun.
Yeah, the Peach game wasn't what I expected. Yeah. It looks like a weird... Reminded me of Puppeteer, the weird PS3 game. I actually think it's pretty good.
Yeah. Thought Kung Fu Peach looked pretty cool. Nice.
At the end, I was like, they were like, one more thing, and they showed like the Mario star. I was like, are we actually getting the new Mario reveal, like Odyssey 2, whatever they're going to call it? No, it's another remake. And I know Thousand Year Door is a beloved game for a lot of people, so I'm happy for you if you're looking forward to it. But I did want something new.
The new 3D Mario game will be a launch game for whatever next console is.
I thought they might still tease it. Yeah. So there were rumours of a Switch 2 being revealed, and it didn't happen.
But all this said, we did get Unicorn Overlord showing off the new Vanillaware game.
Yeah, so just to those.
Yeah, JRPG perverts like me. Like that was the moment. If you've never played 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim, it's now on PlayStation Network's free game.
PlayStation Plus. Yeah, I do keep meaning to check that game out. I'm not gonna have time in the next few months to play it, but that is one that's always on my like long list of things to catch up on.
Cardi, for some reason I feel like you would have been excited about Trombone Champ coming to Switch.
I'm full not player. Overly. What about that WarioWare one where you could lay an egg? Did you watch that? Some weird movements going on.
I was working this event, so by that point I was looking at other stuff. Yeah. But.
Do you know what? I meant to mention this at the start. I'm actually glad it's you two on the podcast today because I actually feel like I'm in a safe space. We talk about Trombone Chat because
ABBA.
I believe we're all ABBA likers here.
Yeah. ABBA. Let's go. Yeah.
I don't know what that was all about.
Slander going on.
Yeah, one of the most influential pop bands of all time.
And I always thought fairly inoffensive as well.
Yeah,
I thought
who doesn't like an ABBA song? Do you know?
I just don't know what's going on here, to be honest.
I remember, I think a couple of weeks after I'd started, though, admitting that I think like that Jamiroquai is really good. No. And I remember all of you going like, nah, it's not.
No, I wouldn't have said that.
I can't stand Jamiroquai. I don't feel like Jamiroquai is on the same level as ABBA.
Mm-hmm. I went for a phase when Jamiroquai, probably like Virtual Insanity time, where for about 6 months I thought Jamiroquai is going to be my guy. Like right. That is going to be, so I bought. I'm like, I'm buying his singles. He's my guy,
and it's
like he did the Godzilla soundtrack and song on the soundtrack. I was like, he's amazing.
Oh, that song's great.
And then I quickly decided, no, actually, Jamiroquai is not my guy, but I still like a couple of his songs. Yeah. I think it's because of the Virtual Insanity video, which is just still to this day just an amazing video.
I'll give it that. It's a good video. What ABBA song would you play in Trombone Champ though? Fernando.
Nah. SOS is pretty good.
Lay All Your Love on Me, I think.
Yeah. I mean, like, even the classics, like, yeah, Voulez-Vous. That's a good one. That might be it, actually. That might be it. Waterloo's good, Mummy. Oh, they're all good. All the big ones. They're all amazing.
All the big ones. They're all good. Yeah. You can play four-player Trombone Champ. We could team up, play some ABBA on Trombone Champ if you want.
Just like ABBA, four people that play the trombone.
You do the Voulez-Vous bit, and I'll do the aha bit. There we go.
Oh, mate.
People having a go at ABBA, we wouldn't have Alan Partridge as we know it without ABBA. So take a look at yourselves.
I partly think that's why I like ABBA so much, is because of the years of just being indoctrinated to it through Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
But yeah, my mum and dad like were always big into them. And yeah, they just make some of the biggest pop songs of all time. What's not to like?
I don't know why I'm having to constantly defend ABBA here. I'm very upon myself. I do need to go to ABBA Voyage though, one day. Should we go ABBA Voyage though?
I'm all right.
It's in my neck of the woods, mate. I'd take 10 minutes to go home.
Stratford, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely. What else are we going to talk about? That was our Nintendo section that turned into an ABBA section.
Yep.
You've been watching some films, though, you said, while you were off. Any of those
I haven't been. I've been logging these films, so you're going to have to trigger my memory. I watched... did I start off the podcast with Bone Tomahawk? Was that the start?
Yeah. You've already talked about Bone. Do you want to revisit the scalpings?
No. Do you know what? I knew in that film, I knew there was a graphic scene, but I didn't really know what it was.
More than one. But yeah.
There's one.
Yeah, it's one particularly bad one.
And because honestly, for like, I don't know, an hour of that film, it's just
a slow burn.
It's just some cowboys going on a quest, isn't it, really? Mm-hmm. You know, and also Jack from Lost is in it as well. I was like, I ain't seen that motherfucker in years.
What's he doing with himself these
Matthew
days?
Matthew Fox, yeah, well, apparently, yeah. I think he was a
bit of a complete dickhead, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
We both watched No Hard Feelings, the Jennifer Lawrence-led comedy. And I think we're both in the same boat. It was just nice to have a comedy film. I know we had Barbie, but like... An actual, like, more like art. This felt like a 2007.
Yeah. It's a film I don't think we get enough of these days. You know, like the era, the Judd Apatow era, you know, when it was all his. Like, I have mixed feelings on Judd Apatow, but he definitely had a run of bangers, you know, that I just don't feel like we just get those sort of films that much anymore.
Like, I still love Superbad to death. I love Superbad. And even the weirder ones we got. I think you still do get some of these more indie films, but like, I still love Napoleon Dynamite and stuff like that.
Yeah. No Hard Feelings is good fun. I thought it was. I've never really cared much about Jennifer Lawrence, really. Like, never been that interested in her roles, but I thought she was really good in this.
She should do more comedy because she is genuinely very funny.
She was really funny.
It's a shame. Like, I didn't like Don't Look Up at all.
I didn't really dig it either.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I thought the young lad in it, I don't know what the actor's name is, but I thought he was really good, especially playing, like, he has a great growth in the film, and I thought he did really well at portraying that, you know, like, incredibly nerdy, shy young boy to the guy who's sort of coming out of his shell towards the end of the film.
And there's also he was never annoying. He could so easily have been an annoying character.
Yeah. And there was an incredible scene as well with Jennifer Lawrence completely naked beating the shit out of a bunch of people as well.
That was very funny. Yeah, she just went for it. I just like that she just goes for it. And
It was good film.
I think she's good.
I watched Mithrigan as well, which I thought was
movie of the year.
I don't know about that. Barbie is definitely movie of the year. But
was that this year?
Yeah,
it was very early this year, Mithrigan. Yeah. It's my best film-going experience of this year. I just, like, I watched it in a like little tiny cinema with sofas, a bottle of wine, and I was just shouting and cackling at it. There's a scene where Megan, like, it's the first time that I think she's wearing a different outfit, and me and my partner are just like, slay queen.
Well, they very much lean into that with those dance numbers and stuff. Yeah, so
I should check it out.
It's good fun. It's like surprisingly like gruesome and scary in places. I thought it would be a little bit more silly than that, but it was like, no, it's Chucky, right? It's a new version of Chucky, but like, it was good fun. I enjoyed it. I watched an absolutely abysmal film that came out this year. Can you guess what it is? It's a big film with a big star in it that came out this year.
The Rock been up to?
Is it
one of his?
No, it stars one Adam Driver, and it was called 65. Yeah,
I thought some people thought that was okay.
Oh, shockingly dull. Not like it? For a film about dinosaurs being stuck in an area where you're trying to defend yourself from giant dinosaurs, it was so dull and boring. I just like completely switched. I know it's like, I don't know why Adam Driver. I mean, I hope they paid him well because
it's got to be a one for me, one for them.
Yeah,
situation.
Very much felt like that as well. Like, I was like, why would you take this?
He can't be doing Enzo Ferrari films all the time. No, although I wish he would do Michael Mann films all the time. It's been a good year for film. Like, we've had Barbie and Oppenheimer, the two best films of the year, quite easily. I think we've still got Killers of the Flower Moon, which is probably the only one I think. Or maybe The Killer from Fincher that could take over as my film of the year.
Is that already out, The Killer, actually?
No. Okay. No, it's out in a couple of months. Just like Killers of the Flower Moon.
June's
been delayed, but
Oh, I watched June again. That's one thing I did. There's something I watched that you might have watched was the We Are Newcastle. Did you watch that?
I didn't because I've heard it's absolutely a horrific piece of work.
but it is semi-enjoyable. I mean, so there is a really cool part where Callum Wilson go back to his old school, which was my school, and he talks to his PE teacher, who was my brother's PE teacher. So when I went to visit my family, we all put it on and like all reminisced about our school. That was kind of cool. And it's also weird to see Amanda Staveley calls everyone Angel all the time, and it's bizarre.
Yeah, she's a very scary lady.
Interesting if you want to see a piece, a propaganda piece, that's desperately trying to convince you that Saudi Arabia doesn't own Newcastle United.
Yeah, if you've missed if you've missed some of the great propaganda of the mid 20th century, check out the Newcastle documentary on Prime Video.
Look, I was looking for anything to watch at this point when I was having to look after a baby, so everything got put on.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, that was a good little catch-up, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We've got a... Do you know what we can do, though? Yeah. Let's just play an endless search. Why don't we?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Let's just do it. Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we're coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it endless search?
It's the UK IGN crew.
It is indeed.
Sorry to, like, you might have already had this feedback lined up. Did we get a feedback of someone saying they hate that song?
That is in an email later. You can address that later. Keep it boiling. Dale, you've 2 months without the endless search. You must have been really starved.
I listened to the podcast, so...
Playing along at home.
I got my fill. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you get to play it. For real, we've got one here sent in from Gary Fields, who says, "Hi, IGN UK team. Thanks again for all the quality podcasting. I've been loving all the endless starches lately, but it's been a while since you played Portmanteau Overwatch."
Oh, I'm terrible at this.
And I thought I'd send in some submissions.
I love portmanteaus.
"For anyone not in the know or needing a refresher, the prompt will be the description of a combination of two separate games, films, TV, etc., merged into one. And the answer is the portmanteau title of both of those, as one begins with the last word of the other. However, the category for all the rounds provided here, there's six plus a tiebreak if it ends up 3-3, are one half TV show, one half film." We got that. Keep that in mind.
TV
no
show
games
and
here.
Film. Okay.
One half TV, one half film.
Okay.
So let's just get going. We've got six of them here and a seventh if we need it. First one. Amy Poehler leads an ensemble cast trying to manage the red tape of local government work while also handling a recent dinosaur outbreak.
Jurassic Parks and Recreation.
Oh, there you go.
I was doing it
the other way around. I was like, Parks and Recree, and what's the Jurassic Park bit?
Parks and Recree Dinosaur.
Parks and Recree 65.
Parks
it's definitely
and
that
Cretaceous period.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, there we go. It's not called Cretaceous Park, though, is it?
Yeah. Didn't they have a spin off called something like that? Camp Cretaceous.
Anyway,
yeah,
1-0 to Matt. Five more. I haven't actually read these, so I don't know if they're all easy, hard, whatever, but good luck. Right. "After 39 seasons, a British icon faces his or her greatest challenge yet, working with cartoons to solve the crime of the millennia. in this sci-fi live-action animated hybrid romp.
Doctor Who frame Roger Rabbit.
Oh, God, I was just there. Yeah, nice.
Roger Rabbit is so good.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, great. Like, yeah, great flick.
There is like, I need to watch it again because there's an amazing clip, you know, when they're handcuffed to each other and he starts sawing off the handcuff and he can't hold, the table's wobbling and he just slides out and holds the table for him. And then when he notices and he looks at him, he does this gentle little slide his hand back in. It's like, so good.
Genuinely... one like Bob Hoskins' performance in that genuinely one of the greatest, like having to act against nothing and
he literally doesn't know anything is there because it isn't. I want to watch it
although I found it terrifying as a kid when at the end
the end is terrifying.
Doing the dipping
the screaming is horrible.
Poor Doc Brown. Right, one all, four left. An undercover FBI agent infiltrates a gang whose charismatic leader's love of surfing is only matched by his passion for cooking meth.
What?
Breaking Bad Boys.
No. An undercover FBI agent infiltrates a gang whose charismatic leader's love of surfing is only matched by his passion for cooking meth.
Surfing.
Yeah, I genuinely can't think of that.
Is it Point Breaking Bad?
It is Point Breaking Bad. Yeah. There we go. 2-1 to Matt. Point Break, good film.
I've never seen it in a while.
Not seen Point Break?
No.
That is just a line from Hot Fuzz.
Which one are we watching first?
Yeah. I have seen Bad Boys 2, though.
Point Break is amazing. You'll love Point Break.
I've been through this about my disdain for Keanu at the moment, so I don't know if I. Yeah, but the 90s Keanu,
but
I
you
do
like Speed, but, right?
Yeah, I love Speed.
Yeah. That's Speed Keanu, and it's Patrick Swayze being amazing, and it's Catherine Bigelow being incredible.
I love Cyberpunk, but like Keanu, like brings it down a full couple of points for me every time. Right,
Point Break. I'm surprised you haven't seen that. I thought that would be one of your favourites.
You know, here you just remind me of another film I watched again while I was on paternity leave. Is Matrix Resurrections. I decided to watch
it. You watched it again?
Yeah.
I personally love it.
It's on Prime. They put it on Prime, and I was just like, "All right, I'm going to give it another shot." And it's just, if anything, it's worse.
I love it. Honestly, I do actually genuinely. And
still
think
to
it's
this
amazing.
Day, I don't get like. Well, they're talking about it as a video game, but then they're showing clips from the first movie going, oh, that's your video game. It's like, it's a fucking movie. Oh, it just drives me mad. But that's the smallest complaint, but like that particular thing really winds up. But Keanu is particularly bad in that film as well, shockingly.
Let's just carry on again. 2-1 to Matt with 3 left. What could be more high stakes than running an ad agency in 1960s New York?
Right.
Got the first half
locked in.
Some of these are, I'm gonna, like, I appreciate these, Gary. Some of them are a bit on the nose. Spending your nights detaining illegal extraterrestrials.
Men in Black.
There we go.
Yeah,
that's good.
Two left. I'm just gonna read this one ahead. See if I can make it a bit trickier. This one you might not know straight away. In this World War II period piece, one man must contend with political intrigue, incest, and even dragons as he struggles to crack the Enigma code.
Oh, God. The Imitation
Game of Thrones.
Bastard. Yeah. Said the wrong word.
Matt stole it. Matt stole in there for a 3-2 lead. Right, one left.
These are surprisingly
I'm just gonna say the first line of this one, and then if you need more, I'm gonna say it.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cruise wakes up from a coma to find the zombie apocalypse is upon us.
Tom Cruise wakes up from a coma.
I know that one.
I'm just trying to connect things.
I'll say the next line if you want.
Yeah.
He must travel the world in search of a MacGuffin that can shut down the zombie hive mind.
Oh, I know the film, and I know that. Oh my God!
This one is actually not quite a portmanteau. It's a little bit of a cheat, to be honest, because it misses out the first two words.
So, what film? What title of the film is it though? Because I know the film, but which title is it? It's got two titles.
Oh, yeah, you're thinking of the wrong film.
Oh, wrong film. Okay, yeah, right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm thinking the only one I can remember of Tom Cruise waking up from a coma is like Vanilla Sky, but I don't remember that as being it's, a...
I don't know if Tom Cruise one, actually wakes up from the coma in the thing he's in, though, does he?
This one's a little... It's actually technically not a portmanteau, if I'm honest. Right.
Can you read it all again?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise wakes up from a coma to find that the zombie apocalypse is upon us. He must travel the world in search of a MacGuffin, that can shut down the zombie hive mind. There is actually an extra bit, which is, of course, the actual shutting down of the hive mind won't happen until the sequel. Basically, take the first two words off of the film and then you'll... be able to start it from the TV show and end with the film.
I don't know what they are anymore. I heard Hive Mind, I thought it was Live, Die, Repeat, and then I was like, I've lost it now. Mm-hmm. I've lost the thread.
Should I just tell you?
I have no idea.
It's kind of unfair. I'm sorry, Gary. It's kind of unfair. I appreciate it nonetheless. It's The Walking Dead Reckoning, Part 1.
Oh,
there's no Mission Impossible there.
It doesn't... Oh, I mean, I guess, yeah.
The Walking Dead, yeah. It's kind of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. It would work if it was a sandwich instead of a portmanteau to watch, because The Walking Dead is in the middle of Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning. But there we go. It's 3-2 to Matt, but you know what? Because that one was kind of unfair, I'm going to give the tiebreaker a chance for Dale to equalise if you agree with that, Matt.
Sounds great.
There we go. John Cleese leads an all-star cast of diverse personalities who team up for a jewel heist, but things go awry when the walls of reality eventually begin to crack and they discover they're in a genre-shifting simulation created by magic.
Created by magic?
Magic.
I was fully lined up for The Matrix then until you added that bit in the end.
John Cleese leads an all-star cast who team up for a jewel heist. Do you know what that film is?
I don't think I do.
No.
This is actually the hardest one at the end here. Because if you don't know what that film is, then you probably won't get what the second bit is.
I want to say that it's like a Pink Panther reboot or something.
But that's where I was leaning too, but that wasn't him.
If you don't know the film, you're not going to.
No.
Yep. Sorry, bud.
A Fish Called WandaVision.
Oh, I do know the name of the film, but I've never seen it.
There we go. Matt does ultimately win 3-2. Fun was had. Questions were asked. Answers were given. Good stuff. IGN_UK feedback @IGN.com if you want to send in any of your endless searches or indeed some of your feedback. Just like who sent one in first, Matt?
I've got one from Jamie Gearing here. He says, "Dear IGN UK podcast, I have a long-haul flight approaching. The prospect of a move abroad without my beloved PS5. My trusty PSP is long since dead, and a true handheld PlayStation alternative seems far away. As such, I'm considering making the move to Switch. Aside from Wii Sports and GoldenEye 007 in the distant past, which I have had barely any experience with the Nintendo, which essential Switch titles would you recommend to a newcomer? Furthermore, I am most interested in the affordable handheld-only Switch Lite. Are there games that might not run as well on this version of the console, or can it handle the same titles as other versions? Many thanks. Respect the water in all its many forms, even sparkling." I don't know. I'm ready for that.
I do not respect sparkling.
I don't respect sparkling. Yeah.
And that one's from Jamie Gearing in Melbourne, Australia.
Sparkling water, not good. Even worse, tonic water. The devil's drink.
I love a little bit of tonic water. I actually like sparkling water, but I don't respect it.
Get out.
Have you ever had it when you really want your thirst quenched and you open up
your Actually, I was saying this to my partner the other day, like the German idea of everything being sparkling water is like, you know, if you're sat at a restaurant, great, I understand it. But if I'm thirsty, you know, I need some still water to gulp down, mate.
I don't know that carbonation going on in my mouth.
It's time for our yearly drop-in to say what Switch games we think are good.
I'm first to answer, the Switch Lite will work fine with all games. Mm-hmm. And all the Mario games is always
Mario Odyssey.
But also there's the Mario 3D All-Stars. I don't know if they're still selling that, actually. I know it was limited edition, but it had Mario Galaxy on it, and it had 64 and Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Mario Odyssey, obviously Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom are all very good games.
The ones that you're not going to get recommended by most people, I did do a little list of this one. They just got announced, Dave the Diver got announced for Switch, which is
Dale
very
the
good.
Driver.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is definitely worth checking out and will last you the entire of the long haul flight. It's too much to do in that game. Yeah. There's a game called Dredge that came out earlier this year. The Switch port is really, really good. Check that one out. And I recently picked up, I've had this for ages and suddenly just really wanted to play it again. It's a game called Part-Time UFO, which is fantastic. It's about, like, you're a little UFO with a grab claw and people just want you to do little odd jobs for them. It is so good, but it's got a mode in it where it's just about building the highest tower you can possibly do with a bunch of random objects. And as you stack it up higher and higher, it becomes more and more wobbly. It is genuinely like evening stealing. You'll like log on for it, like just, oh, let me build a quick tower, and you'll be there for 6 hours.
Yeah. Good. My boring answer always, you can now play Persona 3, 4, and 5 on Switch. That'll last you more than a flight.
Depends what amazing sort of things you like. But honestly, like, there's, depending on what sort of games you like on the PS5, there's going to be alternatives of things that are similar on the Switch as well. The last big game I played on the Switch, apart from Tears of the Kingdom, I think, was the Monkey Island. What was it called? Return to Monkey Island, I think. Yeah. Which worked great on the Switch. Like, I had a good time.
I like puzzle games because they pass the time quite quickly on planes. Like, last couple of long flights I've done, I've played through The Room and The Room 2, which are great puzzle games, and they're like 3-4 hours each, but they go by so quickly because you're kind of concentrating, you forget time's passing by. Or if you just want something casual, you can play Dorf Romantic on Switch now, which nice and chill.
Really, really
good. Just
go on
a podcast and play that.
There's also a load of classic games as well. Like, you know, there's a Nintendo like classic libraries that you can get a subscription to. And if you said, aside from Wii Sports and GoldenEye, you have barely any experience in Nintendo, there is a wealth of history of great Nintendo games to check out.
Donkey Kong Country.
If you just get it played, if you just subscribe to online, you've got all the old Mario games. And it's a shame they've not got Pokemon on there yet. But the GBA ones, I mean. We can't have everything in life.
They also, I think, just announced that the 3DS Picross games are coming to Switch.
Oh, yeah. Always. Always gets
love a bit of Picross.
Do you know what they should put on Switch? Peggle.
Oh, mate.
So there is a couple of Peggle imitators. They're just not as good.
Yeah.
There's Peglin. Is Peglin out on Switch?
Peglin, and is it Round something? Round.
Do they use Ode to Joy?
No, but it's not.
What's the point? What's the point?
Exactly. Dale, who have you got an email from?
Hello, this is from Rob Andrews, and he says, "Hi team, on last week's episode, you guys talked about game mechanics that irk you. One that always makes me roll my eyes often is found in story heavy games like The Last of Us, Uncharted, etc. The problem I have is during combat, you can die or your companions can die, and you get a sorry you died screen, and you have to start the encounter over. Or if you don't die, the tap of the button or a 20-second... Sorry. Or if you don't die, the tap of a button or a 20-second rear lets you fully heal. 10 minutes later, usually during a cutscene, the same character or companion gets shot and is fatally wounded or even dies. Suddenly, the mechanic of healing disappears when it's not part of the narrative that the developers want to tell. It always takes me out of the immersion. Do you have any thoughts on this? Wouldn't it be great if death in games through player combat actually fed into the story? Cheers, guys, Rob." Then Rob says, "P.S. I stopped listening a couple of years ago, partly because I hated the theme tune to The Endless Search with a passion. Upon returning to the show a few months ago, I let out an audible sigh to hear it still there. I'm probably a minority, but if you ever fancy updating it, I would be a fan for life."
I love it too much.
It's 20 seconds of an hour-long podcast.
Skip it, mate. Skip it.
20 seconds.
Skip it. Like,
or enjoy it. It's the highlight of my week when I hear it.
But I get it.
You know, on the ones and twos.
Music is subjective, but skip it. Just press that little skip button and you're fine. Everyone else likes it, mate. Everyone.
Everyone. Literally everyone. I don't know if that's true.
Just you, Rob.
I mean,
I think that an interesting way that people have handled this in games is Uncharted, where he's not really being shot at all. It's like how much he's pushing his luck before getting shot.
Yeah.
So unless you actually like get hit, he hasn't been shot.
I think, Rob, you're looking for something in these games that just fundamentally doesn't work to what the game type is, whereas there's other game types like roguelites that will service that, you know, like the idea, the game like Returnal and stuff, you know, when the idea of dying and coming back to life is part of the game's mechanics. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even
you're discussing a concept called ludonarrative dissonance here. It's been talked to death.
I finished Baldur's Gate 3 last night. A round of applause, please. Thank you. And that's a game that can, you know, people in your party can die. You can tell them to go away. Like, you can make that, like, a lot of the characters in my party have fully died, but I've chosen to bring them back to life by paying the gold or using a scroll to bring them back to life. I could have that. Like, that's a game that lets you choose, like, you could live that story and be like, they died in combat, they're gone forever, that's it. Like, that's my story now.
Except for Gale.
I don't know, like, this is... I've only played, like, 2 hours of Starfield, so I'm not really chipping in on opinions. But I do get the sense, I imagine, so far, like, you can't do what you used to be able to do in, like, Fallout 3, which just kill anyone, anytime.
Well, that's what I tried to do. I went into Constellation at the start of that game and just tried to kill everyone.
Yeah.
They won't die, they'll just go on their knees.
I tried to do the exact same thing and tried to kill them. But I miss that, man. Like, Starfield feels weak without that sort of stuff.
I remember using the mining laser on everybody that I came across, and it doesn't work on anybody but Vasco, I think.
But I loved the risk and reward of that in Fallout 3, where you know that if you could kill someone, you could like completely lose quest lines and change everything, you know. And yeah, I think they've lost that a little bit over the way. There you go. There's my mini review of Starfield.
There we go. But yeah, it's hard. Yeah, if they're trying to tell a story, then you know they're going to choose when characters live and die, aren't they? Because they're telling you a story. So if they could just die early in the game, that would completely...
And like end game states have like been in video games as long as video games have existed, you know, like I don't know what the suggestion would be. Like, that's not needlessly complex. Try different types of games, Rob.
I've got an email here from another Simon McCormack, who says, "Hi all, love the podcast, but I won't overpraise you guys because I know Cardi, a fellow Simon like myself, doesn't like it." I know, I'm not averse to praise. It was Joe who used to hate it. I love being praised. I love being told I'm great. Doesn't happen often enough, if you ask me, actually.
Won't again during this call.
Yeah, if anyone wants to throw a compliment my way, feel free to let me know.
I don't feel prepared.
Just tell me how great I am at all times, please.
Hey, you want me to be
really
a liar?
I need that boost sometimes. Anyway, have to say I'm enjoying Starfield despite the flaws. To get to my story, I have a spacesuit in Starfield that lets me turn invisible when I crouch and don't move. I was in the gun shop in the Well in New Atlantis, and I thought, I wonder if I crouch and turn invisible here, will the shop owner notice if I steal stuff from the shop? It turns out he doesn't. Similar to putting a bucket on your head on the head of a shop owner in Skyrim, you can clean out a whole store with no consequences. I do question why the owner wasn't suspicious when the guy he was looking at suddenly disappeared once he crouched, then all his guns disappeared from the shelves, and his mannequin suddenly became naked. I left a playing card in his storeroom as my calling card that he had just been struck by the ghost. This is the sort of thing that I do like in Bethesda. You can still do that silly stuff. I have included photos of my poses in the store once my theft was complete, including the playing card I left on his table as my calling card. I have to say I was giggling like a schoolgirl when it worked. My question is, what are your favourite game exploits that you have discovered? And do you consider it cheating? Keep up the great work. So you'd have to apologise. It's good. Thank you. Respect the sea. And I have a good drowning story to send you if you ever want to do a sequel episode. I'm always up for the drowning stories.
And we'd have to receive a lot of them to do an episode.
Yeah, we won't be able to get another hour-long drowning special. But if anyone's got any... Imagine if you just listen... Well, it'd be like 3 or 4 years now that they've probably got quite a few new listeners in the last 3 or 4 years. We once did an hour-long special on funny near-drowning stories, I may add. Not actual. No one died in any of these stories. They're all near-drowning stories. Basically, people falling in lakes. Or rivers. That's the, you know, there's some funny stories there. Believe me. Do you have any funny exploits? It's not really an exploit, it's just the way you can play the game. Like, Baldur's Gate 3 is full of stuff like this. Like, if you want to try it, it'll probably work. Like, it's not really an exploit, but I was playing as a druid character, and I basically had a thing where I could turn into a dire raven whenever I wanted, and basically turn into this bird, and you're just completely undetectable when you are in that form. So I would just go around all the unrestricted areas, unlocking like every door like for my party, just going in there, basically scouting the whole place, casing it like I'm doing a heist, and like steal everything from all. Because when you're in the raven form, you can still just steal stuff from all the cases. You don't need to switch back to human form or anything. So I just like completely ransack a place before then going in and letting my party go in and kill everyone. So it's not really an exploit. It was just a way I was playing the game. Yeah. But
I did see, in terms of Stafford, I did see someone made a video where they picked up a bucket, I think, and they got those credits, loaded credits on the table that you can steal, but instead they just sort of like used the bucket to nudge them into another bucket and picked up the bucket and walked out the place with them, so they never actually touched them. They didn't steal them. I thought that was quite clever. And I'm just trying to think of it. There is, in Resident Evil 4, someone else found this, during the village sequence at the start, obviously they're attacking you until the bell rings, but if you've got this certain sniper rifle at the start of the game, you can go up, shoot the bell, and then it will just end the fight immediately. I just thought that's
you can only do that on a new game plus.
Yeah, you have to have a certain sniper rifle that you can only get a new game plus, but it's still a really cool option that they let you do that, because that bell is really far away.
Yeah, that is cool. Exploits, Matt? You just play on the straight and narrow. I'm just too nice. Gamer.
Yeah.
Jesse's the guy we need on for exploits. Although his are quite literal in terms of console
cheats.
Commands.
Cheats. Yeah, that's what. Back in my day, we called them cheats. I have noticed that, like, I haven't put them in because it apparently does disable all your achievement stuff. But Starfield has like dozens of cheats in it, like old school, like infinite money, infinite. Like, you just don't get that often in games anymore.
Well, that's very much the Skyrim thing as well, isn't it? That's all about the console commands and being able to spawn in, point at characters, and then say like reanimate and then bring them back to life and stuff. You know, like,
why doesn't every game have big head mode? I might have mentioned that before.
I'm bored of big head mode.
Really? When's the last time you saw big head mode, though?
In WWE games, I guess, maybe. I did see it in something else recently. Oh, it's in Sons of the Forest. They have a big head mode. But also, a bit pointless, isn't it?
Bit of fun, isn't it? A bit of fun. IGN unsecure. IGN UK.
IGN underscore UK feedback.
How many times have you done this?
It's been a long few weeks. I've got a week off soon. Do you know how excited I am for that? IGN underscore UK. Fucking hell.
IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com.
Maybe we need a different email. Maybe that's the problem.
No.
It can't change now. Never
too
changed.
Late.
The podcast will end before that email gets changed. What music do we want?
They show a little snippet of it in the Final Fantasy Rebirth trailer, I think. Oh, maybe I'm misremembering it. But there's Chocobo music. When they're doing the Chocobo racing, there's music. It goes...
classic.
Do you want some Chocobo racing music? Is that what you'd like? Yes, you can. Yeah, you're back from Potato. You can choose the music.
Lovely, thanks.
There we go. What a treat. Right, I suppose we should probably go. Do some work.
Bye. Right.
Bye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.